What episode is this?
Oh, really?
Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. You are listening to the Nerdcast, but what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
Come on.
35, right?
35 or 1 or whatever.
Episode 35.
I'm going to buy you like a pitch, like a step counter that you can just click
just
for
click
every episode.
Can't click it right now.
I have that life counter ring from.
I'm gonna hang up a tear off sheet.
Tear off sheet.
All right. You know, there you go. Get a life counter ring and sponsored by Crit Success.
Perfect. So welcome to the Nerdcast Season 4, Episode 35. It's E3 week. Can I call this special, Tyler? Can I call it special?
It is, but we're,
when was the last time you played like a new game?
A new game? Destiny. Anyways, let's go around and introduce people since last week I got in trouble for not giving anybody any time. So, Aaron.
Hi, that's me.
All right, Adam.
Do I have to introduce myself?
No, hello. I said your name. You could just say something, but Adam, who got talked over by Aaron. Bob.
Hola.
And Tyler.
Bonjour.
All right. And I'm Iggy, of course. So all five of us here for a great and exciting episode. We have tons of things to talk about. Specifically, we'll stay spoiler-free. We got to touch on it for a few minutes because as spoiler-free as we can stay, the internet did not stay spoiler-free today. So anybody who did not watch Game of Thrones on Sunday had it ruined on Monday. That's all I can say.
Yep.
Oh, you didn't?
Because... Well,
Tyler, what do you mean you didn't? You know what's going on anyways. So.
No.
Yeah, but
no,
I don't know what happened.
That's not.
Yeah, no, it goes, it gets a little intense.
It goes further, and that's what really irritated me when I was griping to someone about how, you know, I was bitter about things, and they're like, well, how did it go further? And all these
Aaron
people...
Bitter?
All these... Oh, just, leave me alone. All the people on the internet, though, say that the last scene was just like it was in the book. No, it wasn't. I don't know what they were reading, but it wasn't the same. And
so
that's
much
what
for spoiler free, Aaron. So
I'm just saying it's different.
Adam,
the book is different than the show.
Yeah. This season was big time. But Adam,
whoa. Breaking news. You're telling me that there have been things that have happened on Game of Thrones, the TV show, that are different than the novels Game of Thrones.
But the thing is that I let it happen because they were so true to the characters. But this season was like, you know, we're all tender little, you know, there's certain things they have to give us. And this season they took them away. They're just like, screw that. So it makes me want to say I'm done with the TV show, but I can't because I am a loser.
I'm just trying to get Adam's opinion and see if he saw that episode.
I don't know. He can't. Oh, there he is.
I did see the episode and I don't. Yes, it was different, but if you've read the books, it wasn't unexpected.
Yes, it was, because it didn't go that far. It took it like 10 seconds further than what it did in the books. 10
I understand,
seconds.
I understand. Right, but I mean, read the book, but like, but hey, I did read the excerpt from the book because it got posted all over online. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty close. The problem is with the book passage in that scene, you are given a sliver of hope for a certain character.
Yep. Sliver. Yeah. And I was hanging on to that damn sliver.
And in this, you really aren't. You really aren't. It seems that way. But there are things there, and we've seen crazier things happen on the television show, and even crazier things happen in the book. So who knows? But
I don't know what scene in the book and or the TV show you're talking about, because I'm behind. And
okay, well, we're
I
not.
Haven't followed on internet, but I'm just saying, like, that's the exact. They've done the exact opposite of that other times, where in the book you were left like, what the is that person even alive anymore? And in the TV show, they totally like smoothed it over, and it's very clear that a certain character is still alive.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
But they can't do it the other way around, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
but
that's how I feel. And
life
I'll
and death are
it.
Two very different things, Tyler.
Tell you what,
I'm going to have to back her on this one.
Okay. But you know, that one sliver that she was kind of grasping for, as someone who has not read the books.
Shocking.
That just made it even more powerful. It just went, you know, because you were like, okay. And then it happened. And then you're like, wow.
Powerful? I think you meant depressing, Bob. Depressing was the word.
It was depressing, yes. But, you know, it still can be pretty powerful.
And cruel.
Know? Okay.
Cruel.
So we'll avoid too many spoilers.
I just wonder, is anyone going to have a happy ending in that show?
No. Yeah, no. Yeah. The people you hate will have a happy ending.
I tell you, the one part, without giving any spoilers, another one that, you know, you kind of were glad because that person really deserved it, was that long walk.
Yeah, well, that person's going to be the one who ends up sitting on the throne when this is all over, and the rest of us are going to be pissed. And George R. R. Martin's going to be sitting there laughing at the world.
We'll see.
Adam, what did you think about the episode?
Tyler, that whole thing was muted.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying that the fact that you think that there's still going to be a throne left for someone to sit on when this is all over is kind of cute.
Okay, true. All right. So let's move on, because Aaron, you didn't even want to talk about it now, and now you're like,
I want Adam to hear. I want to hear what Adam was saying, because he didn't get a finish.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I'm gonna let you finish.
Can I finish? Can he finish? Can he finish?
No, I thought it was good, and obviously it's different than the book. And if you're expecting the same thing from the book, then there's been very few things that I would say have been the exact same as in the book. So that, you know, that's kind of on you there a little bit.
I know. And I totally take that for me personally, just saying me.
Well, I think anybody that was expecting that one scene to be the same as it is in the book was setting themselves up for failure. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good episode, and I'm intrigued.
And it makes me want to get ready for next year.
Makes me want to read the next book.
Yeah, me too. That's what it makes me want to do. And I'm right on board there with Tyler and Adam. I don't want to keep watching the series until I read the book.
All right. So moving on, I did, before we get into the craziness that is coming out of E3, in the first day, well, I guess day and a half, because they did get a sneak preview there Sunday night. E3 is blowing it up already. But majority of us on this episode are fans of John Oliver and watched Last Week Tonight, which, I mean, if we're watching Game of Thrones, you might as well. Last week, so the week before, actually, he challenged FIFA Vice President Jack Warner.
Former Vice President.
Former Vice President Jack Warner, I don't even remember what the name of his like special was, because he bought airtime.
The gloves are off.
The gloves are off on Trinidad TV. So John Oliver decided to buy some airtime as well on that same channel in Trinidad, called The Mittens of Disapproval Are On. Well, the former vice president of FIFA, Jack Warner, did see that and recorded a counter video to John Oliver, which called him a comedian fool, played some dramatic music in the background, which, Tyler, like you said, you haven't seen this yet, but when you watch it, it's hilarious when they reference the dramatic music.
Laura legitimately spit fluid out of her mouth.
Yes, it was hilarious.
At that part, I mean, there was water all over my front.
So he challenges. So Jack Warner, it doesn't really challenge him. He just kind of calls him out and tells him he's not going to listen to him, yada, yada. So John Oliver responds with another challenge and ups the ante by adding more to the video, because all about big budget videos. So very funny. Adam, so your wife spit.
Oh, yeah. No, she was legitimately taking a drink of water and just completely lost it. And there was water everywhere. No, I don't know what Jack Warner is legitimately thinking. Like, you're stepping into somebody's wheelhouse. It's like being like, hey, Muhammad Ali said I was stupid, I'm going to go fight him because this is a good idea. And it's not, you wouldn't want to do that. And you don't want to do that with John Oliver, with like, hey, we're going to make funny videos about each other because you're not good at this.
An HBO budget, by the way, behind him.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no. So it was hilarious. And I mean, how this person, Jack Warner, became a vice president of FIFA, like, plays to the ineptitude and corruption in that organization for sure, because this person has no idea what they're doing in the world.
The thing about it is even like that video and then the rebuttal video are literally some of the least crazy things Jack Warner has ever said publicly. Like,
how,
I mean, this,
how about the,
this is tick of the iceberg, tip of the iceberg, Onion, these guys
using an actual article from The Onion to defend the FIFA stance. The United States is so angry with FIFA. Why did they accept this extra World Cup we rewarded them? using an article of The Onion to back up his case there. The vice president of FIFA, or former.
Oh, yeah. It's
well,
bad.
At that time, it was. So anyways, okay. Bob, I know you're going to want to talk about this because the numbers were outrageous. So go ahead. Let's run wild with these dinosaurs.
Oh, man. These dinosaurs are crazy. $209 million in the United States, $511 million worldwide for Jurassic World. It beat Avengers. It, like I said, it's the number one first movie ever to go over $500 million on the first weekend. It's unbelievable. And I got my little Jurassic Park shirt on. Yay. My little celebration there. But yeah, it's, you know, I don't know if any of you guys have seen it. Doubt it. Oh, there we go.
That's fantastic. So Tyler's sharing a gif of Chris Pratt dancing around money.
Challenging him to a dance-off.
World.
Chris Pratt can do no wrong anymore. I mean, he's got Lego Movie, Guardians of the Galaxy, this, you know. He's
and from his own mouth, he has confirmed he has signed on for 38 Jurassic World sequels.
Yeah, I heard. And he's going to be doing the Magnificent Seven reboot. And yep. There's talk of Indiana Jones reboot. So, but, you know, if you haven't seen it, it really takes you back to the original. Screw part two and part three. It just goes right. Keeps in the same level as the first movie. It's exciting. It's funny. I tell you, the one thing I liked about Chris Pratt in it is it really set him up as an action star. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy, it used some of that from Parks and Rec, that humor, that charm. Here, it made him a romantic lead, an action lead. So right now, I think the guy can do no wrong.
So hot right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's pretty awesome. There's two funny things about it. Number one, when he talks about the sequels, I feel like that's the status quo. Robert Downey Jr. ruined it for everyone. Like, if you're getting signed on for a movie that may or may not be a franchise, you better be ready to sign on for like 10 of them, because the amount of money they've had to pay Robert Downey Jr. alone because they didn't sign him early on because he started what is the MCU with that one. But the other one is have you heard the crazy fan theory about Chris Pratt's character?
Yeah. He's the little kid, and
the crazy fan theory that everyone's totally on board with, and no one who like worked on the movie will answer it, is that he's the kid from the very beginning of Jurassic Park 1 that Dr. Grant scares the shit out of with the claw, like explaining it, stuff like that.
Looks like a chicken.
I could buy that. That seems pretty fun.
Pretty fun. I don't know. Yeah. Of course the actor who played that posted a picture on his Twitter. That said, no, this is what I look like now, not Chris Pratt.
Although, that's what he should have said. So Jurassic World, did anything else even make a dollar? Like, it feels like every dime from the box office this weekend went to Jurassic World.
Spy did pretty well. I think it did like $22 million. And everything else after that was less than
that's two. No, $209 million, but $22 million is not that. I mean,
just over 10% of what Jurassic World made.
Yeah. And the bad thing about it is, you know, last week we asked, okay, what do you think it's going to make? And I think all three of you guys went $125 million. I went $130 million. I was off by the entire first day of Avengers Age of Ultron.
Wow. the amount of money it made is
yeah. And how much of
hard,
that is
it's hard to comprehend, yeah.
It's also like there's not been a movie that's come out since maybe Avatar that's had this high a percentage of 3D ticket sales, which is part of the reason its gross is so much higher. It's a big reason why. So
50% of the gross is based on 3D, large format, and IMAX.
Did anybody see it in any of those? I saw it in regular.
I didn't see it yet.
Yeah.
You haven't seen it yet?
No.
I haven't seen it yet either.
I'm so far behind. I'm going to go see Mad Max this week.
Did you go to Last Starfighter?
You should do that.
I didn't make it to Last Starfighter. I bailed on Last Starfighter because next week I'm going to take my kids to, what is that, Inside Out. Bailed on that. And then this week I'm going to go check out, they have these Cinnabars here in the Denver area that are kind of like Draft House. They're $6 tickets anytime, except for Friday and Saturday night, it's $8 tickets. And then they make the money on the food, and they're still showing through Thursday, Fury Road. So I'm going to go check that out this week to test out that theater. And then maybe give it another run for Jurassic World. I mean, $6 tickets, especially if you go show times where there's no, you don't need food. That's not a bad deal.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
I mean, and you guys are pretty lucky. I mean, you got the Museum of Natural History out there. You got the dinosaur, the T-Rex skeletons out there. That'd be really fun. I think actually there's an IMAX theater there at the museum.
Well, Bob, why don't you come out? We'll go check out some dinosaur bones and watch Jurassic World in IMAX.
Ah, sure, yeah.
Bob would make the 8-hour trip for that, by the way.
He would, yeah.
Definitely.
Perfect. All right, so I am heavily disappointed on the fact that we're 15 minutes in and we've managed to stay on topic the entire time so far. So as I introduce E3 coverage, I want us to run rampant. And Aaron, I expect you to chime in with stuff that's not related to games at all. We've got to keep our original charm going here. We've got to stay random.
I'll play the part of those 10 listeners we have who don't play video games.
It's all right. So, or as Tyler will point out plenty of times through the rest of this episode, that I don't play video games either. So
you're really excited about a lot of games you will probably never play.
True. Yeah.
I'm excited.
Like, you seem super pumped about all these games you will never actually buy.
I'm excited for the Xbox news, the backwards compatibility, so I can play the games that I do play, as well as Halo 5, which I will play the hell out of Halo 5. And a Gears of War announcement, it's still far out, but Gears of War, I've played that franchise through. And then if there was any game that I played heavily in the Final Fantasy series, well, there's a couple of them. 10 was also one, but Final Fantasy 7, and they're remaking it for the PlayStation 4, and that trailer. Anyways, so what have y'all seen out of Monday at E3 that has got y'all excited?
So many things.
Yeah, the easy answer would be for Tyler, for sure, and for a lot of people, is going to be Fallout 4. That Bethesda set up yesterday was legit. Yeah, the Pip-Boy, I mean, all of that stuff. Cool. That's what you want.
I might just buy the collector's edition and never play it just so I can get the Pip-Boy. Tyler keeps muting himself and trying to...
I know. Well, someone keeps sending those... I keep doing it to keep... Someone keeps sending messages and they keep beeping. But I'm hearing someone's cell phone go off from a...
It's probably mine.
Anyway, sorry. But yeah, the Fallout... Like, the one thing I will say about this, and Bethesda's usually been pretty solid about it, unlike other ones, is they literally told everyone nothing about this game for the better... I mean, people have been wondering, where's this game? Are you making this game? Is this game going to happen? And lo and behold, they've pretty much finished the game before they decided to announce it. And they're like, oh yeah, we've been working on this. It's actually coming out in like 3 months. Here's gameplay footage of the entire thing. And it looks, it's a lot of the things you love about Fallout, plus adding like structure building, and there's flying things and customizable power armor and rocket packs and all sorts of stuff. But I mean, as much as I love Fallout, that was just the tip of the iceberg today. Microsoft was really winning the day there for a while with backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
They had a couple of exclusives that no one saw coming.
They were on point after some weak years, to be honest.
They really were, but then as good as it was, Sony came out with some stuff that people, I mean, between Final Fantasy VII Remake, at least early on being exclusive to PS4, the demo for Uncharted 4 was insane. Oh. And I love those games, and it looks amazing. What else did they have?
They announced the timed exclusive on the DLCs for Call of Duty, so that puts them at, like, if you want the fullest Call of Duty setup, get your PS4 ready. Which, I mean, for a lot of folks, that's a lot of money that goes into those DLCs and those games in general.
Tyler's on mute again. That guy just...
this button, like...
Explain the button.
It's a really bad button. It's a bad button. You press it and you sit there and press it and press it. And if you don't like push it, I don't know. Anyway, there was a game that was talked about a lot a while ago, and then it just kind of fell off the radar, which was Last Guardian, which would be the next game in the world of Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. And that seems super cool. I don't know. There was not many things not announced that I didn't think were amazing. I think one of, and this is even a new game, but one of Microsoft's big wins is they announced the Rare Collection, $30 and 30 old rare games, including like all the Banjo-Kazooie games.
That'll be good.
That'll be huge.
That'll be something I'll play, Tyler.
All the old rare games.
Yeah,
it's really not. You'll buy it. The new Assassin's Creed got a new CG trailer for Syndicate. Ubisoft announced a new sword fight. There's so many things. I mean, it's E3. It's like I feel like the glut this year was solid. And then a lot of games that we had kind of forgotten about finally got some release dates and some footage. Like The Division, that was supposed to be Tom Clancy game that was literally supposed to be like a PS4 like launch title, finally got a date in 2016. They did show some multiplayer. They did sell some multiplayer footage for it. That was cool. And then they showed a gameplay trailer for, I think, a game that people were really excited about, DICE taking over the Star Wars Battlefront series. And they showed multiplayer gameplay from that on Hoth, and it looked pretty sick.
Yeah. The only thing that concerns me with that is that we're going to get a Star Wars skinned battlefield.
It definitely looks like
that. And I don't want that. I want a Star Wars game.
Yeah, it's a little early to tell. Like, it definitely, the first at least half of that trailer definitely plays like someone made a Star Wars mod for Battlefield and put like the Imperial March in the background. And then, but then like you get into some of the sections where you're controlling the AT-AT, or you're flying an X-wing, you're flying a B-wing, you know, you're flying a TIE fighter. And at the end, of course, they bring in Darth Vader and Luke. But we'll see. But it definitely right now feels an awful lot like, hey, let's make Battlefield and put stormtroopers in it. So
right, yeah, that's what concerns me, is that they've just swapped out the guns for the blasters and the mechanic for, if you can get a mechanic for, lightsaber fighting. I don't know what that's going to look like. I'm hoping it's really good.
Did anyone ever play Jedi Outcast or Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast? That was like the last MP. No. It was a PC game back in the day. It was the series, the Jedi Outcast, but it had. It was a first-person shooter multiplayer online game, but it had lightsaber duels built into the game, and they were ridiculous, and they didn't fit the rest of the game, but it was kind of fun. It wasn't for its time. It was mind-blowing, but if they can find a mechanic that's not terrible for it, I mean, that'd be cool. I guess I don't know. The problem is I feel like there's so many mechanics going on in that game, with part flight simulator, part, you know, lightsaber duel, part first-person shooter. At the same time, as much as it sucks, turns out to be a Battlefield skin, at the same time, like, just hearing them throw in all those classic sound effects, like the blasters. Oh,
yeah.
There was a Wilhelm scream. There was that orbital, the sound when they did the orbital strike, like the sound effects that from, oh, it was awesome. I got goosebumps.
Adam, Assassin's Creed was brought up.
It was.
I haven't heard much from you on that yet.
So, And I'm going to do a whole write-up on Ubisoft, because they're, with the Assassin's Creed, they're my boys.
My boy, Blue.
Yeah, I don't know. Just last year's game really upset me, because it wasn't quite that good. It launched with a ton of issues, and they never really got them resolved, and they built in all these really cool things like, hey, you can get this app on your phone, and it's going to help you unlock treasure chests. And I'm like, all right, cool. Except I could never get my app to sync with my game, so that's like part of the game that's just completely gone for me. I hear that they're stripping a lot of that stuff out and going to go kind of back to what they do. So cautiously optimistic for what is probably my favorite series out right now, or what was my favorite series out. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm tempering expectations, which is not a good place for a fanboy to be, I guess.
Aaron, any excitement out of E3 so far? All right, Bob, anything for you?
Silence there. Actually, I'm kind of looking at the schedule for the next couple days. Not seeing much on the third day. I tell you, tomorrow should be pretty good. Other games they're going to be announcing. Just Cause 3. Let's see. What else? Rise of the Tomb Raider. I think Tyler already mentioned
that was supposed to be a part of Microsoft's announcement, is my understanding. Because weren't they going to get timed exclusive on it? And then really didn't anything come out of Microsoft's press conference.
No. Well, they really pushed exclusivity last year, and then all of a sudden, like after their show, everybody's like, wait, what does that mean? And then it turned out, oh, they get it like a little early, and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think they didn't want that backlash again.
And I saw, I mean, it looks like there's a lot of that exclusivity to the PS4 is more than I'm seeing on the Xbox One. Mega Man Legacy Collection, that might be kind of fun.
If it have Mega Man X in it, I'm on board. But
I mean,
we could literally list things that were announced all day long. The last Dark Souls 3 will be the last Dark Souls game was announced. What else was there? Gears of War, I think we touched on that.
Yeah.
Rare is making a pirate game that looks kind of awesome called Sea of Thieves. Microsoft did the holograph demo for Minecraft using the headset, which looked kind of legit. We finally got the last Metal Gear Solid E3 trailer ever, and it looked kind of awesome and sad at the same time.
Tear for sure. Second you got
tear. It has to come out of the other eye though, doesn't it?
I mean,
he doesn't. I don't think he has tear ducts on this side.
Depends on which character you're talking about.
Okay, fair enough.
I didn't realize you were going after a character there. Never mind. But
yes, I was making fun of Adam. No, I was making fun of Solid Snake. Oh, and then a new Mass Effect game, which I didn't know if that was going to happen or not. But
yeah, that was that one got huge reception, at least on the social media, as it broke up my Game of Thrones chatter for a bit on my news feed. I don't know. Plenty of exciting things going on, though. So,
yeah, I'm trying not to get too pumped because at the rate things are going right now, I may not be doing anything except playing The Witcher 3 for the next, I don't know, 3 months.
Again,
Fallout 4. I seriously can't stop playing it. We recorded last Monday and we talked about it a little bit. I bought it on Tuesday, and what little free time I've had that wasn't spent at work or sleeping has been spent playing Witcher 3 the last week, and it's been awesome. And I'm not even sure if I'm I don't even think I'm halfway through the game yet.
Yeah.
There you go. Speaking of, talked about last week and somebody thought was awesome, I am going to take us away from video games for a second. Aaron, you saw The Kingsman.
It was awesome. If I wasn't podcasting right now, I'd be watching it.
Again?
Again.
What were you saying last week about it? It seemed like a boring movie.
Well, that's just because it says Kingsman in it. Like, I couldn't help that the title sounds boring.
The title sounds boring, so I thought the movie
was boring.
I picked it up. Yeah.
How many times have you watched it?
Just one. I've only watched it one time. It's just good.
And Bob, did you get it at discount rate? Because all the stores now, I think Best Buy is down to $12.99, Target $12.49. I'm sure Amazon has price matched them. If you're going to get it, click through our links and get it on Amazon, of course. But
I mean, I got my price matched.
Quick Drop. I already saw it at the grocery store for $16.99. Even the grocery stores go below $20 on the Blu-ray. You know, it's that drops global there. So
wow,
It looks fantastic on Blu-ray. I don't have my full setup done down here yet because I don't have the speaker wire for it all. So just on stereo too, the audio was fantastic. So Adam, have you still not seen it?
No, still haven't seen it. No, I also bought The Witcher 3, and
he has no life either.
Between my Witcher 3, my working, and keeping up with my Destiny, all my Nightfalls and
it was important stuff,
like that.
Don't you worry. Don't you worry. You'll watch this week. I'm going to bring it over to your house, and we're going to watch it. What, you can't squeeze me in? Come on.
All right, maybe.
Okay.
Wow. Wow, no Kingsman for you. I wouldn't let him watch it if he's going to be like that about it.
Yeah, really.
He's missing out.
He still needs to watch it, but he doesn't want me to be there, so.
No, you haven't played The Witcher 3, Iggy, and you stopped playing Destiny, which confuses
me. I don't even have PlayStation Plus right now. I will get it next month, and we'll play some Destiny.
Okay, good.
All right. I promise I will play at least once in July.
Well,
I'm giving you at least
Adam, once. If you're not gonna watch Kingsman, you got Chappie coming out tomorrow.
Ooh,
I really enjoyed that movie.
And Spirited Away comes out tomorrow.
Oh yeah, but that's still
I can't afford that.
Yeah, with the Ghibli ones, you have to wait for a Disney sale because those things come out at like $25-$30 on Blu-ray. But that's it. Isn't Studio Ghibli caught up now at this point on Blu-ray?
Should be. Yeah, that should be it.
I'm not caught up on them because, like I said, they're expensive. But this one will be in, and as soon as that sale happens, Spirited Away will be my next grab. That's definitely one of the best of those Miyazaki films. I did get a chance to, I hadn't seen it yet, and I watched from up on Poppy Hill this past week. It's pretty good too. He wrote, and then it's his son. I think I was in a dispute about it. I couldn't figure out if it was his brother or his son. I can't remember who directed that one.
It's his son.
Okay.
Yeah, it's his son.
All right. I got it. I said,
it's his son. His son.
I said that. I have it recorded that I said that.
I'm with you. It might be his brother again. I'm with you. I don't know.
If you watch From Up on Poppy Hill, you may not know.
Speaking of things that we got excited about last week that other people have gotten on board with now, our friend Adam here picked up a copy of The Martian and started reading it. I don't know how far he is into it, but
sweet Lord.
I 82%,
Tyler, 298 pages done.
At like the 10% point, I was already getting messages about how awesome it was. So I'm just saying,
it's really quite good, you guys. So if you haven't picked up Andy Weir's first novel, The Martian,
who's the author on that?
It's Andy Weir. Okay. It's Andy Weir. If you haven't done it, please do. I told my wife about it today since I'm almost done. And she's like, oh, that sounds amazing. And then I showed her the trailer and she goes, oh my God, I need to read this book and watch this movie. Like,
yeah, it's such a good book. And the positive buzz from the trailer and the teaser trailer have moved the release date up basically 2 months. So now it's coming out
October 2nd.
So
they never move release dates up.
I'm just saying. I read a lot of books, so if there's one that I get really pumped about and say, hey, maybe you should read it, odds are it's probably pretty awesome. Just
Tyler, if you buy me a copy, I'll read it.
Okay. I will do that.
All right.
Well, I got it. I signed up for Amazon Prime for free for this month, so I can loan you a copy, I think. I might be able to make that work.
Yeah.
If you buy The Witcher, he'll play that too.
You read it on your iPhone.
I don't want to read it on my iPhone.
Just get the app on your computer.
You need a relationship with the iPad with the app.
But I don't want to read it on the iPad.
It's so much more better to read it in a book.
I have a regular Kindle somewhere around here, but I don't.
I'm not mailing you a book. That's not happening.
Well, you don't have to mail it to me. I'll be back there in a couple weeks. So
I'll buy you a paperback copy of it. I don't know. What is it on Amazon right now? Let me look. I'm just saying, I read a lot of books, and when I get really hot and bothered about one, it's usually a pretty good one. I mean, if you want me, I can go back in time and not recommend that you read, like, I don't know, Lamb or American God.
No, the books you've recommended to us, I will give you that. I will, and that's why I said I will read it. I read the last ones that you recommended, did I not?
So good.
It's true. You did do that.
Thank you.
It's like $9 for Prime on Amazon, so I might get you that. We'll see.
Okay. I'll be there July 1st. Remember, you guys are off for dinner because I'm taking y'all out. So,
crap. I should probably look at my schedule.
Y'all are my dates. I only got two arms, though, so we're going to have to chain link it. Mm-hmm. Anyways. Okay, so anything? Now we're kind of in no man's land. We've talked about some of last week's favorites, which The Kingsman. Yeah, I'll watch that again, too. Mm-hmm. Adam, you need to get on that. Tyler, did you pick it up? I know you've seen it, but did you actually pick up The Kingsman?
I forgot that I wasn't using this button. I am terrible at this now. So here's what happened is I was going to buy the DVD or the Blu-ray, but then it went on early access for digital on Amazon.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So I bought it for $15 on Amazon, watched it twice. Then it's at work. I didn't buy it. I should have because we ran out of the Best Buy exclusive copies that came with a copy of the Secret
Service, comic. Yeah.
The comic book. So, but, I own it in digital format, but not on a Blu-ray disc. So I will eventually buy it. But now that it's dropped so much, I might as well just pick up a copy of it.
Yeah.
You know, that would be cool on Prime, like how you can loan your books on Kindle. You should be able to loan digital movies so you could let Adam borrow it. Honestly, Adam,
that would be very cool.
I would probably, as much as I collect the digital copies and act like I'm going to use them, I never use the digital copies. So I think it has a digital copy in there. I could send you. Yeah, I can send you that code. So. Sharing is caring.
I can't commit to watching that. I need to finish reading The Martian.
No, then I'm not sending you the code. No. I'm not wasting the digital code on you.
Having Dude, finally watched hours. It, I did my homework, and it's really, really good. Like, there is something that I have a moral issue with, and I still love it. Like, I have a huge moral issue with it, and I still love it. So, you know, it's good.
If Aaron,
Laura would love this movie.
Yep.
What's your huge moral issue? Because, like, I mean, there's a lot of crazy, terrible moral things going on in this movie. I feel like you've picked out one in particular, and this has got to be good.
No way, like, Aaron.
We all need to hear
one
this.
Issue.
Yes.
You know, I have this one issue, and anytime that violence goes overboard involving children, And so there was like a moment when there was stuff.
You have to keep it vague as a moment with this.
That's all. That's all I'm going to say.
There's that scene with the child that might be.
I mean, if you really want to think about it, think about how long the machine was turned on the rest of the world over.
Oh, I know.
How many children
that's what I have a problem
straight up strangled by their parents.
That's what I have a problem
worldwide.
With. That's exactly
hey, but
so
look on the bright side.
Adam, why don't we just go ahead and tell you the whole plot?
He eventually turns it off and, you know, has
but
sex
Tyler,
with
that's princess. Exactly
hey,
my
hey, Aaron and Tyler.
The entire time.
Adam still has not seen this movie, guys.
And I understand what you're saying.
We literally did not ruin anything for him.
No, we didn't.
And it, really, you could tell, like, you could say this is what was.
I could tell you the entire plot of the entire movie. It's not going to make it any
more enjoyable. Because it's just fun. It's just so entertainingly fun.
Because the plot's not exactly like Oscar caliber here.
They totally call it out in the movie. They even say this isn't this kind of movie. Like, they even call it out. So, I mean, yeah.
Which is what makes it fun, and it's enjoyable. Ugh, I love it so much. I want to watch it right now.
Now, that was truly a happy meal. Anyways.
Y'all just talk so funny.
So, anyways, Kingsman, Martian, again. I can just use – that's great because I can just use the same images and blurb that we used last week for this stuff. So I can be lazy about getting the episode up online. But anyways, anything else from E3 anybody wanted to mention? I think we, like Tyler said, kind of went down the list. It's a lot of exciting things for a lot of exciting people.
The most I will get out of E3 is reading the coverage on Project Nerd that I have to edit.
That's so right.
A lot of articles going up on Project Nerd.
Good job.
And
get that traffic over to project-nerd.com.
We could talk about some sad news this week. In the fact that Sir Christopher Lee died.
Yes.
Before he was 22, he was already way more badass than anyone you've ever met. And then
fighting Nazis. And
completely.
And then went on to continue being amazing after that.
So. Yeah, after
he turns, at 93, he was still a badass.
Yeah, and after he turns 80, he starts a rock band.
If you want to read, if you want to read a fun one, IO9 has a article they put up called 22 Incredible Facts About the Life and Career of Christopher Lee. And it starts with just like the number of screen credits he has, goes on to the fact that
it's like 288, right?
He's descended from his mother's side from Emperor Charlemagne and on his father's side from Robert E. Lee.
Wow.
He solved the last person ever to be executed publicly by guillotine in France when he was 17. He was in the RAF and the forerunner of the SAS, and may or may not have killed a lot of Nazis. And
he killed a lot of Nazis. Yeah.
he then went on to join Winston Churchill's Special Operations Executive, which I don't know why there's never been a movie made about it, but is known as the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Can I point out that Tyler
was Dracula?
Well, I was just about to say, can I point out that Tyler is a couple minutes into this man's legacy? And when we talk about these celebrities that have passed, there's a lot of them that have, you know, influenced so many people that have been a part of our lives as we've, you know, entertainment is such a big part of our lives day in and day out. But those first couple minutes of his legacy, you hadn't even gotten to his movie credits yet. Like
I hadn't even gotten to the age of 22 yet.
Yeah. Like this was a man that, like, when we talk about like his, his linear, you know, his family, the World War II part. Like, you talk about, oh yeah, these celebrities, like, oh, Elvis went and served in the army and sang overseas. No, Christopher Lee was actually just dropping Nazis dead in North Africa, like dropping them dead. Yeah.
It's in one of the special features, I think, for the third movie. And it's in the extended cut of Return of the King, there's a scene where Wormtongue stabs Saruman in the back and then throws him off of Isengard. And there's this amazing story where Peter Jackson's recounting how he was trying to direct that scene and trying to explain to Christopher Lee the sounds he wanted to make and how he wanted him to sound when he's being stabbed. And Christopher Lee basically just stopped him. It's like, do you have any idea what a man sounds like when he's being stabbed in the back? I do, and I've heard it many times. I can take care of this.
Yeah,
you know, did his thing. I mean, but yeah, I mean, he was a Bond villain. He was Dracula.
A Bond villain, in The Man with the Golden Gun, like one of the best.
He is the Man with the Golden Gun. He was Dracula. He was Frankenstein's monster. He played Sherlock Holmes and Mycroft Holmes and Henry Baskerville at various times.
Baskerville was his best Sherlock role, and he wasn't even Sherlock Holmes in that one, which you had what's his name as Sherlock Holmes in that movie. Pretty significant actor, and we're all blanking right now.
Which one? Like Basil Rathbone, like the Sherlock Holmes, or which one are we talking about?
No, who played Sherlock Holmes in the Baskerville movie or Backersville? Dude, it's a pretty well-known actor.
Okay. Anyways. Other than his Dracula, he has like, what's his name? He did a version of Rochefort from the Three Musketeers, like the captain of the guard, the villain with the eye patch.
Oh yeah.
Prior to that had never been described in the book or in any, had ever been portrayed as an eye patch, but he wore an eye patch. And ever since then, every person who's ever portrayed him has worn an eye patch. Cause if fucking Christopher Lee does it, I feel like everyone should do it. So, and the original Wicker Man, he had a metal band. He had a metal album. I don't know. He's just,
can we also point out, can we very much point out too, that he was Dr. Catheter and the Gremlins too. That's very important. That's significant. And as bad as the prequel trilogy was, pretty awesome Count Dooku. That's all I have to say as well.
Well,
here's one of my favorite facts. Other than the fact that he was an opera singer, a world champion fencer, and spoke six languages, despite everything you've heard about Six Degrees of Kevin Bacon, Christopher Lee was recognized as being the most connected actor to the world in 2008. By Guinness Book of World Records, he connects to virtually any actor in 2.59 steps.
Because he has 288 acting credits. Like,
that's, well, yeah, he's that's also in the he's there. Also in the Guinness Book of World Records for his number of acting credits. So.
And for tallest man to be nominated for an Academy Award. Yeah, I'm pretty stoked for the IO9 article.
Pretty stoked about Christopher Lee.
Yeah, okay, I'm okay with that. One of the best things I saw was Ian McKellen. You know, says, you know, that we're obviously in all the Hobbit and Lord of the Rings movies together as Gandalf and Saruman, So like pretty tight group of the two of them there. And the first thing Christopher Lee says to him when he sees him on set is, "Oh, hi. Yeah. I always thought I would be Gandalf because I read these books 3 times a year, my entire life." And he knew J.R.R. Tolkien, like, he knew the man who wrote the stories, and like he had always seen himself as Gandalf, and the fact that he wasn't him, and Ian McKellen, like after they did some readings, like he's like, "Oh, okay, well, you're pretty good too, but, you know, don't worry about it."
Well, Tolkien wanted him to play Gandalf, even. He was the only actor in those movies to actually know Tolkien himself. Yeah.
And he met him randomly in a bar and then geeked out on him.
And of course he did.
Was given the blessing then to go on and eventually at some point play Gandalf.
See, you introduced this segment as being sad, but when you recount the activity, the events of Christopher Lee's life, like, there's nothing sad about this. This is like exciting.
So amazing.
He makes the guy from the Dos Equis commercial look like a chump. I'm just saying.
Yeah, really?
For sure.
And he passed away at 93. So it's, you know, it is sad, but at the same time, he lived a full and exciting life for sure. We release them the first Fridays of each month. So it won't be up till July, but I was putting together, the 10 article, and I was trying to recount the 10, most iconic, in my opinion, Christopher Lee performances. And some of them are definitely nostalgia driven, Treasure Island, the made for TV movie, definitely Gremlins, obviously, like I said, but there's just like trying to, like, when I went through his IMDb credits to see, because I had a, you know, a good 6 or 7 I threw on the list, and I'm like, okay, there's so many other ones that I need to fit in here, and going through that, I'm like, oh yeah. And it's crazy because even talking about that Treasure Island, like I said, it was a made for TV movie, but that's the Treasure Island I remember, besides Muppets Treasure Island. But Christopher Lee, like, I remember being like, gosh, like not even 10 years old, and I can still vividly remember his performance in that movie. So
if he was in something, it got like instant credibility. Like, oh, Christopher Lee's in that? Yeah, I'll watch that. Okay.
Well, and he did, it was a quote that they shared, that he shared, or it was shared crazy about him, of course, when he passed this past week, or last week, excuse me, that he didn't want to be in too big of a roles in movies, especially as you got older. But he wanted to be in smaller roles, but it also had to be a role that you would remember and that a character that was important. So,
yeah.
favorite Christopher Lee performance? Can you guys name just one? Erin's gonna go with Lord of the Rings. I know it. She loves those movies.
How did you know that I was gonna say Saruman?
He's actually, as much whether you like those movies or not,
he's one of the best parts of that film, the whole film series anyway.
I think it's got to be Man with the Golden Gun. And maybe that's just because I saw Bond, I watched those movies as a young kid. And so I think that definitely just sticks out.
That's one of the top five Bond villains there is, easy. Yeah. Maybe
Scaramanga's one. Scaramanga's got to be up there. I don't know. That's a tough
one. For me, it's Dracula.
He is Dracula. I don't know.
Yeah.
Bela Lugosi, Christopher Lee. I'm Christopher Lee. I mean, that's the person I will probably remember most.
I don't know. I don't know. I think probably the first one I remember seeing and thinking wow, that person is the original Wicker Man is pretty rough, and he makes that entire movie so.
He does a lot better job than Nicolas Cage. Anyways,
yeah, and his Rochefort in Roquefort in. The 70s version of The Three Musketeers is pretty awesome.
Yeah. And thinking about it right now, too, because there are a number of monster movies, but the three big Universal ones are, Dracula, Frankenstein, and The Mummy. And he played all three of those.
Well, he played the Hammer versions of them, not the Universals.
I know, but I'm saying he played...
I know, okay.
Well, you couldn't even... I mean, technically, the Universal one started back in the silent era, even, when they were doing them. But my point is of the three, when you look at monster movies defined, the three main ones that people look at, he's had a role in some movie of each one of those monsters. So, pretty cool. I don't know. Another fun fact there, I guess. Anyways, yeah, Christopher Lee... pretty awesome dude. He will be missed. And he was acting up till recently, even a lot of great performances, even just this isn't 30 years ago, but just recently. So
you bummed us out.
Yeah, I got quiet. Good job,
Tyler. Wait a second. Everybody's on mute but me. Okay.
Speaking of what's his name? George speaking of J.R.R. Tolkien, they just recently at auction sold a first edition of the Hobbit, and it sold for £137,000. Which is the equivalent of probably $215,000,
somewhere in there. That's
Pretty
nice. Nice book. It makes you don't you always want to be oh, I want to one of those days, be rummaging through an attic somewhere and come across something like that and be oh, yeah. Or there was always, when I was younger, there was always this commercial for one of those car websites. I say younger, but when the internet was really picking up and the guy goes to the garage and the old lady is showing him the car and is well, he only drove it on the weekends and it's only got 12,000 miles on it. And she opens the garage door and it's a 1969 Stingray. And he's you only want $5,000 for this? And she's okay, fine, four, but I'm not going any lower. It's why can't I ever have one of those fines? I don't know.
Because that doesn't happen in real life?
Yeah, no, because it... Yeah.
It doesn't here, Tyler. Doesn't here. I wanted that. Anyways, yeah, that's a pretty impressive sale for that book.
We can go into sports and talk about how the mighty, mighty Blackhawks won another Stanley Cup. I know how much you love that.
We're not going to talk about that. If we're going to talk about sports as much as
we can talk about how excited,
the Royals have seven how Royals players are going, on the all-star team.
No, it's every game the Royals play now is the AL All-Stars versus. Today I watched the AL All-Stars. That's hard to say.
Easy for you to say, yeah.
Well, you just have an all-time.
He's having problems with the English today.
AL All-Stars. The American League All-Stars.
There you go.
First today. They played the Cardinals this weekend. So it's funny how angry baseball's getting about it, because it's a joke. I've never been a fan ever since they made it so that the All-Star game decides home field advantage. You shouldn't be letting fans vote on it to begin with, but if anything good comes of this other than getting to watch everyone get mad at the Royals, it's that they'll probably change the voting now.
What Royals players are even saying, because people are asking them about it as it gets closer and closer to the All-Star game. And they're like, if you're so mad about it, go out and vote for other
players. Ned Yost was like, it's a vote. Like, go vote for your players. Like, we played really well last year and our fans got excited and are voting for us. Like, maybe your fans just don't love you as much.
That's the way it works, right? Yeah.
And I don't think that people, understand the floodgates that were opened in the Kansas City area after we went to the playoffs, not just the playoffs, but the World Series after not going to the playoffs for, 29 years. There was a lot of pent up love for the team there that got released in a very short period of time. So
yes, it did.
I was going to say, if we're going to spend a couple minutes on sports, as much as everybody wants to bash him and everybody loves to hate him, LeBron James is in beast mode in these NBA finals. And even though they're probably going to, even by time this airs, be done and eliminated, that guy is like carrying not only a team, he's carrying a city on his back right now. I bet you somebody is wishing, you know, Cleveland was wishing somebody in the Browns uniform could do what he's doing right now because he is.
Nobody else is.
They should put him in a Browns uniform.
There are statisticians and athletic trainers and all this stuff when they're calculating the minutes he's playing, how far in the season and the points he's putting up. They're like, this shouldn't even be physically possible what he's doing right now. He's still averaging what, like 40? He's only missed 22 minutes of this series at this point. That's pretty crazy, but. And then, of course, the women FIFA World Cup's going on.
Women's World Cup.
Yeah, so you got the U.S. At this point, they'll – I don't know. Is Game 3 by time this airs? Game 3 is this week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yes. Hopefully they'll take care of that and win their group and be ready for an easier round in the bracket. But either way, definitely a lot of challenges up there with the artificial turf.
A little controversy around that for sure, yeah.
They dropped the lawsuit before it got there, though, but – But yeah.
They dropped the lawsuit because they realized there wasn't enough time for anyone to actually do anything about
it. Yeah.
Right. The big issue is it's not that they wouldn't even make the men play on it. They wouldn't allow the men to play on it. Like when we hosted the cup in 94 in the States and they were going to play in a bunch of domes, we had to put in turf on all the domes. So then they played in the Superdome and, oh, by the way, they put in real grass and not artificial turf, but actual field turf down on the field. So it was actual grass and they had to do special venting and stuff like that. And none of that for the ladies. It's a little, that bums me out a little bit, to be honest.
Well, at least Blatter's not there to make his comments anymore.
Well, I mean, when asked how to make, I mean, just that's, I mean, that's on the tip of the iceberg of FIFA and women and all the things FIFA. But I mean, the quote everyone brings up is when Seth Blatter was asked like how to make it more popular is they should wear shorter, tighter shorts. So that's about how FIFA feels about it.
That was the president of FIFA that answered that, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
The absolute worst.
And then there's stories about him walking in to like receptions where like, you know, some of the best players, women's players in the world are there and he doesn't, you know, who any of them are and calls them by the wrong name and stuff like that. So
he probably does that to the male players too. He had no clue what was going on in those games. It's all about the money for him. All right, so we're winding pretty close down on time now. Where are we going to close? What's the big topic to close us? We shared our love for Kingsman and food again last week, and then almost ended up in an argument about Game of Thrones in the very last seconds. How will we finish this race this week?
You're the one who comes up with stuff, buddy.
After I cut this giant gap of silence.
You're a giant gap.
I mean, other than Jurassic Park out there making all the money, what else is coming up that people are excited about? Did anyone remember that Ant-Man's still coming out? I feel like everyone's kind of forgotten about that movie.
They might. I mean,
yeah.
There's a new trailer that came out. A new trailer came out for a, what's his name? Bill Murray movie. Directed by
Rock the Casbah, was it?
Rock the Casbah, yeah. That looks kind of funny.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
It looks okay.
Barry Levinson's directing it. It looks entertaining. So, it's got Bruce Willis, Kate Hudson, Zoe Deschanel. Another trailer for Man from U.N.C.L.E. came out, and I'm really excited about that movie.
I'll have to watch the new one. I liked the first one for sure.
Another trailer came out for Spectre, which we all need more Daniel Craig as James Bond.
I have not seen the new Bond trailer. I'm gonna have to check that out.
There's not a lot new in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was gonna take us to comic book news. Oh, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah.
No, I think it's gonna be kind of interesting now to see what Marvel's gonna do since they lost their footing as the number one box office movie. You know, are they gonna wait for Captain America Civil Wars, or
Disney's not gonna have to wait long. Marvel may not claim it right back, but I don't think Disney's gonna wait too long before they have a movie back in that number one spot. I think this year we will see numbers be broken, at least domestically. I don't know what opening weekend looks like for Star Wars in terms of global but worldwide, but domestically those numbers will be beat for sure.
Yeah, it's going to smash Jurassic World.
I was going to close us. Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's crazy to think of the, you know, domestic numbers. Now we're talking in the 200 million range. Like, that's absolutely insane. So it wasn't that long ago that if a movie made like 110, 115, that was like they were doing something super, super right. But now all of a sudden it's like, oh, you only made 150. That's pretty good. You know, you
could have done canceling your sequels.
Right. You could have done a little bit better. Come on.
Well, look at, I mean, when Jurassic Park originally came out, it broke the record for making $50 million over a weekend. Now, 200 million.
It made 65 on Friday for crying out
loud. Yeah. And at some point you got to take some, you have to take into account a little bit. Number one, inflation and ticket price increase with 3D. Like, it's not apples to apples when you're comparing, you know, Jurassic Park 1 to Jurassic World 20 years later. But
Aaron looks so angry there, but staring at her screen.
Speaking of canceled sequels, though, before you do your comic thing, what the hell with can we talk about Tron getting canceled, the new Tron?
I'm so angry about it. I should pretend to have a topic ready to go all the time, because as soon as I have a topic, wait a second, I got something.
Well, you this is your fault, because you said about we're canceling your sequel. Okay. They did cancel the Tron sequel, and I'm really
Yeah. Out of nowhere, because it was.
I really liked Tron Legacy, and I was.
Yeah, and it was successful at the box office too.
And everyone had signed back on again, and they had a script. Yeah. And there was going to be.
Well,
a thing, and
thank Tomorrowland for that
and
one.
Apparently, Tomorrowland just tanked everything else Disney was making.
Damn
so.
You, Tomorrowland!
Isn't it amazing how Tomorrowland tanked, and then Jurassic World is just like gangbusters?
Yeah, But I mean, I feel like isn't Marvel making Disney enough movie money? Disney enough money movie. Movie money. God, I am just on my game today. I can't talk.
I need some coffee.
Isn't Marvel making Disney enough money that they can literally just make whatever? They could make 100. They could make 99 losses a year.
But not even that. Why are you basing your success off of Tomorrowland and not the second Tron movie that came out how many years after the first anyways and was successful? Like,
it wasn't like super successful, but it made
money. Yeah, it made money. I think warranted another one, and it has a good follow. I mean, there's petitions started to get that thing going. So
yeah, like that's going to help.
I don't know. Anyways, I did want to bring up, it is smaller comic book news, but it is definitely relative in our court because we do know a number of people involved with Devil's Due Publishing, but Devil's Due and First Comics merged to form the first mini major in terms of the size and scope of everything since Image Comics debuted, you know, more than 25 years ago. So
that's cool.
It is exciting news.
Pretty exciting because Blaylock and the Devil's Due crew do tons of conventions. They have a lot of experience. There are some great independent titles, all creator backed titles. First Comics has that same value. They're all creator backed titles as well. But the CEO and founder of First Comics has also had his hand in a number of things, not only with larger publishers, but of course, even with studios, as he was responsible for helping broker movie deals and adapt movies such as like the Hellboy movies, other ones too, that are significant. So
yeah, Ken Levin's been all over the place. So
yeah. And these, Devil's Due titles, I mean, some of them I think could lend well to, you know, some interesting, you know, television series or movies.
I would watch the hell out of a Plume TV show or movie.
Plume or Mercy Sparks too would be an interesting
Mercy Sparks would be fun
for a series. I think
Solitary would be cool. I don't, there's a lot of things out there. 7 days. I don't know. It's exciting though, because there's not a lot other than, like you said, Image, not a lot of, not only comic publishers that are the mini major, but comic publishers that are very strong on the creator owned content, you know,
that are of that size. Yeah. They're typically considerably smaller.
It's one or two guys, you know.
So. Yeah, they're creator backed, or their creator published like that because they don't have the funds or the means to do it any other way is usually why they're like that. But no, these both these, and I'm scratching my mic right as I'm talking, but both these definitely support that, and I think it's going to be a great value and pretty cool there, especially after seeing another company we're very familiar with last year, Big Dog Inc., kind of become an imprint of Aspen Comics. So saw some growth there. Now seeing some growth for Devil's Due. But all right, any last words on episode 35? Oh, yes. Hold on. No. This one is important. We didn't talk about it yet. We should have littered it all over our episode. We're live this week, guys. We're live with the podcast. Oh God. We are going to be on, of course, you'll get it on your, this one, of course, is Friday. Next Friday, you'll find the next episode at your normal time. But on Monday, the 22nd, we will actually be recording live via Google Hangouts. So if you go over to projectnerd.tv, and of course, as Tyler mentions, put that hyphen in between Project Nerd, Project Nerd TV on our YouTube channel, and you'll be able to click right in and comment and interact with us. Now, we know there are tons of listeners here. However, I have this suspicious feeling that it's going to be just about a dozen or so of our friends, maybe about 10 friends or so, and then maybe two of Aaron's cosplay fans that show up for it. I don't know.
Is Aaron going to show up in costume for the live podcast?
Are you going to unmute yourself to answer?
What I said was probably not.
Okay.
Because, you know, like people see me in costume all the time anyway.
So from the time you're probably listening to this, it's 3 days from now. And hopefully between now and then, we will have prepped a little bit and practiced it so it's not a train wreck.
Oh, no, it's going to be a train wreck, and that's going to be part of the entertainment.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend more time cleaning up what's going on behind me here so that I can be presentable. I will look like a mess. I'll probably be like sweaty, undershirt on and everything like that. But behind me, I'm going to have the wall all set up and everything.
I like the launcher,
that's
bro.
How I do.
I might have my new posters. I'm supposed to get them back on the
18th. Yeah. So anyways, June 22nd, our season finale for season 4 is live. And then, of course, like I said, we'll also save that audio and put it up at our normal time for those of you that can't make it to live broadcast. But we encourage you to be here with us at projectnerd.tv so you can give us feedback, ask us questions, make fun of us, give us comments, do whatever you want to do.
Make fun of the show.
Yeah, you can make fun of me. I don't care. Whoever. I mean, Tyler does it enough anyways. It's not like something new for the Nerdcast. Anyways, I don't know. Maybe Tyler will make fun of Aaron, and Aaron will have some fans here that'll like stand up for it. Ripping.
Oh, please listen. Please listen.
It went on the road this year so far. Aaron has gotten more feedback than the rest of us in terms of fans that listen to the podcast. I will give her that. As annoyed as Tyler looks right now over that comment.
No, not about the support, about the people taking her side when she's wrong. I mean, are you surprised that on the road and in person, the attractive female cosplayer gets more attention than the four like baldy?
Oh, really? You're gonna put it on that? I'm looking at us. Good opinion of media.
The rest of us have pretty strong facial here going.
You can't even talk about your good opinion about media when keep a straight face. Like deep down, you know how wrong you're. Like, it's not about my good opinion. Fuck it, I can't do it.
She watched The Kingsman and she liked it, so that's what matters.
But she didn't originally watch it because it had a boring title because it had King.
Anyways, join us live. Yeah, in 3 days, like you said, we'll have it plastered all over social media. Maybe we need to throw a banner on the site too. I gotta get to work on that, I guess. So, anyways,
fancy pants.
That's it. I'm going to wrap us up here for episode 35, season 4. I don't know what is going on with Tyler. He looks intense. So sometimes I'm ready to share these video clips, and we have them all saved. So you guys better be ready when we start flinging them out there. So that's it for episode 35. We will catch you next week live, if I didn't mention
it. Same bat time, same bat channel.